hold on to your butts. It's time for a new episode of Destroy All Culture, a sonic death ray from Dimension X that sounds exactly like a weekly podcast hosted by Adam P. Nave and Aiden Morgan. Exposure to Destroy All Culture is 100% fatal, so we put it on the internet. Now listen and die. Lethal effects may take up to 75 years. And welcome to episode 186 of Destroy All Culture. I'm Adam P. Nave. With me, as always, is Aiden Morgan.
Hello, 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 hello. And my cat says hello too. Shut up, cat.
Somehow that just threw me right into the scrub thing. Wrong.
Okay, just a sec. I'm marshaling the cat. If I pick him up and give him a squeeze, he tends to quiet down.
Fair enough. I think Frank does the same thing.
Just pick him up. Pick him up and give him his squeeze.
There you go.
And he'll say something like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, stop it. Let me go. What the fuck?
That's not funny at all.
So let's see. It was, I think, a small week, of course, but an interesting week for TV shit.
It was. Speaking of TV shit, which is kind of what we do here, I don't know if we've talked about the latest Batwoman news.
We haven't.
So we know that Ruby Rose is leaving, and at first we thought we'd be getting, you know, a recast for Kate Kane, but now we're not. We're getting a whole new Batwoman.
Yeah, the showrunner mentioned that, like, she'd been talking to Berlanti, and Berlanti suggested maybe they should consider not recasting and letting Ruby Rose's work kind of stand alone, right? Like, that was Kate Kane.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I kind of like it, too. I think it's a little strange, given how much they built up the Batwoman-Supergirl thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, they spent an entire season, like, making everything in the show revolve around Kate Kane's relationships and everything. Like, what does this do to Alice? What does this do to... And, I mean, obviously they'll deal with that, but it's just... It throws a lot of the show into a weird question that hopefully they'll deal with.
It really does. I think there are certain things they're going to pick up on, like the promised, like, big bad reveal of Sophia. I imagine that's still going to happen, because that's sort of baked into, like, recent Batwoman comics. You know, that'll still be there. But so the character, as far as we know, is named Ryan Wilder, but that might not be her name after all.
That probably isn't.
Yeah.
Because casting notices being casting notices. I feel like the current guesses I've been seeing are either it's Stephanie Brown, which would be an interesting move.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a brand new character, and I kind of love the idea of the like Arrowverse, as it were, finally getting a main character that's not from the comics.
Yeah, tell me about,
like, just doing something completely new.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Can you tell me about Stephanie Brown? I know a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, she kind of, as far as I remember, she premiered back in the 90s when Chuck Dixon was writing the Robin series that had Tim Drake. And she's the daughter of Clue Master.
Oh.
And she decides, like, you know, she finds out, like, her dad is Clue Master, and decides she's going to fight crime because she doesn't like her dad, and becomes Spoiler. And, you know, is a lot of fun as a hero. And then for a while she was Batgirl for a little bit. She was also Robin for a minute.
Oh, okay. That I didn't know.
And horribly, horribly treated. Which is a whole other story. But yeah, she was Batgirl for a while, and then last week she was back to Spoiler. So she's still around. And again, like, a fun character. Because there just aren't many, like, superheroes, you know, that... Like, you can go, like, the Runaways, say, in Marvel, but, like, DC doesn't have many people who feel like legacy characters that whose fathers are criminals,
mm-hmm.
and become good guys, and, like, it's, I don't know. She has a good long history at this point, like I said, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
But has never been Batwoman, so, hey. She's been kind of everything else. Like, she's been her own thing, she's been Robin, she's been Batgirl. That's why I think it'd be kind of funny to be like, and now she's Batwoman. We're just going to keep going.
Just.
And one day she'll be Bat Grandmother. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how comic book maturing works, frankly. So.
Neither do comics. So you're fine.
Fair enough. So you're saying I have a future in the comics industry.
You do. But I do like the character. I think it'd be a lot of fun to kind of have her there. So we'll see if they want to use an established character in a brand new way, you know.
Mm-hmm. But like you say, it would be interesting to see them do like come up with something entirely new.
Right. That could also be as interesting, if not more interesting, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? We'll find out next year. Someone did point out the greatness of, over on the CW, they had this graphic up with, like, when everything is returning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had these little thumbnails of, like, you know, like, The Flash has a picture of The Flash. And all this, and the Batwoman changed to just the Batwoman logo.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah,
because what else are they supposed to do, right?
I know, it's odd actually how I mean, I don't generally get tremendously emotionally invested in these shows. I mean, I really enjoy them. I like talking about them, like following along, but I don't have strong feelings about them. But I just I find like when I found out they were possibly, you know, going with a new character altogether instead of, you know, instead of Kate Kane, I felt a little sad. I was surprised at the sort of like pang of like sort of you know, subterranean grief that I suddenly felt.
Yeah, no, I agree. I will say, like, I had this moment of thinking, like, you know, okay, they want to keep, like, an LGBTQ, you know, like, main character and all this. Mm-hmm. And it's just, if they weren't beholden to, we need to do a Bat character, I'm like, you cancel the show. You bring in Renee Montoya, you do The Question.
Ooh.
And I'm like, it keeps it in Gotham. It, you know, it does everything except for having the Bat family thing in it.
Right. Yeah, it's funny, like, there's, like, when it comes to, like, Gotham, I mean, there's so many, and as soon as you bring in, you know, Gotham into question, there are so many characters you can play with.
Right.
I mean, it's fantastic, so.
And I'm still hoping we get, like, a Renee Montoya Question eventually in Batwoman, so.
Oh, heck, me too. I mean, the show will probably go at least 5 seasons, so there'll probably be plenty of room for that.
Yeah. Moving on, though, to things that actually aired. But, you know, staying in the family there, Legends had a finale.
Right. And
Which
involves Cisco.
And not Cisco Ramon. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I don't know if you... I think you read that whole little thing they did with the director where they mentioned that, like, you know, they'd ask Cisco to come by and, like, he brought his microphone and the outfit himself.
Exactly. He showed up ready to work. And looking much like he did in the 90s as well, which was an added bonus. That was pretty great. I enjoyed that. I pretty much enjoyed that entire episode. I read one review, which seemed to think it was a little messy, but I disagree.
It's Legends.
It's exactly. If it's not messy, then what are you talking about?
I mean, any episode of TV that involves the main characters, you know, arming themselves with pogo sticks and shake weights.
Oh my God, that was
has my vote.
Yeah, the whole shake weight thing. Ava saying, "What's that?" Never mind, honey.
Yeah, I like that she stops to actually shake them at one point before just hitting someone like sideways with them. I'm like, why would you? What was the point of that?
Oh shit! Yeah, no, the Museum of Bad Ideas was definitely.
It was a very good place.
It was, wasn't it? I had never occurred to me until now. And yeah, it is an extremely good place.
which I just, those shows should never cross over. Yep. We of course lose two characters this time.
Right, we're losing Charlie and we're losing Wanzari.
Right, and we're soft losing Wanzari. Like, we're losing Wanzari in a weekly basis, but they do open the door for it every now and then.
I mean, they have the actor on hand, so.
Right, and you know, she's just in the gym, so every now and then they can go visit.
Yep.
Like, ask her a question.
What's up? Sorry. She's like, I'm trapped in here. I'm going crazy. But yeah, no, that's good. But I mean, yeah, Charlie is, of course, the. I was very sorry that we're not getting Maisie Richardson Sellers for another season.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I will say I ended up liking Charlie way more than Vixen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
I think Vixen. It was a much better use of the actress.
Oh, yeah. That's weird. It's...
Yeah, like, you almost forget that she was on the show before Charlie.
That's right. Yeah, that is bizarre. Also, I didn't realize at the time when I was watching it, but the punk rock song that they do at the end is the friendship song from Mr. Parker's Cul-de-Sac.
Yes.
And I did not realize that.
Oh, no, that was part of the fun.
That was pretty darn great. And as I said to you, as I was watching it, most times when shows do like a scene in a punk club with a punk band, quote unquote, it never looks or feels very punk. It feels like somebody who's like read some notes about what punk is supposed to sound like.
Right.
But this actually sounded and looked like a punk.
Yeah,
like,
no, and every
punk
time
concerts,
they've gone back to that bar,
yeah,
and like had the smell perform, it's always felt right.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Which is great.
Oh,
and we also, of course, lose Sarah Lance.
Well, I mean, you know, but not off the show so much as kidnapped by aliens.
I really, really want to see this. So anyway, so what I did after I watched it, I like I said to you earlier, I am getting U.S. Netflix occasionally because of the proxy that I use. So I took advantage of it because Legends of Tomorrow is on the U.S. Netflix and not on Canadian Netflix. So I thought, you know, I remember.
Oh, I didn't know it was on.
Yeah, not on Canadian.
Oh, that's
Netflix.
Right. It isn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought to myself, no, I remember Legends of Tomorrow starting off as being vastly inferior to what we get now, but was it really that bad? So I watched the opening two episodes.
And I'm just going to say, like, just off the top of my head, I remember really liking the bar fight. Like, the setup for the bar fight.
The bar fight is the best part of the entire two-parter. It is, by and large, like having you know, Mick Rory go, I love the 70s, and then beating people up. I mean, that was probably the closest thing to, like, Legends as we get them now.
Yeah, no, and if I remember, like, you know, Snart just kind of sitting there being like, whatever, dude.
Yeah,
and Sarah getting into it. Like, it was very what Legends could be.
Yes. Yeah, and the rest of it felt like, it really did feel like an early Arrowverse show, because it was, and all these characters are being pulled from other Arrowverse shows. So it felt overly self-serious, kind of plotting at times, occasionally really clever. So it was weird, and you forgot, and you, like, what I kind of forgotten from now that we're five seasons into Legends of Tomorrow, is that all these characters that show up in the premiere of Legends already have histories on the other Arrowverse shows. So a lot of it is dedicated to the characters explaining to each other who they are and where they're from. So you're kind of getting a little bit of pilotitis with the show. adding to the burden of all these other shows that you kind of have to weave it into. So when you look at it like that, it's maybe not so bad, but it really is like the promise of what Legends ended up being. You would be hard pressed, except in a few brief moments, to see what you're going to like, see what it would become.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think I'm rambling, but yeah.
No. It totally, like, it. This makes sense.
Yeah, and I have to say, Casper Crump as Vandal Savage. I don't know. I'm not sure. They could have picked somebody better for Vandal Savage. No shade on Casper Crump, but I don't know. He just seemed a little bit underwhelming overall for like an immortal villain who would take over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, he sort of came off more like a landlord from an 80s sitcom or something, rather than a mortal villain.
Right. Yeah, it never quite worked.
Never quite worked.
Which is sad.
It is sad, but you know. You know, we've got three like really like excellent seasons of Legends, and two that were sort of figuring out what the show wanted to be.
Right. So, you know, it'll get there. It did get there.
It did get there.
It's you
in
know
the
what
past.
I mean.
We're in the future.
It is. Oh no. God. Speaking of course, with
Ooh.
Even more time travel,
Ooh.
There was also a Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, right. Or an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Jesus Christ. which I both enjoyed and got really annoyed at.
Yeah, I found it was, there are some good parts and some parts that I'm like, what? Are you, really? There is a moment that I just succumbed to some of the worst things in all of like the Whedon style of storytelling, which is a member of the team suddenly goes crazily rogue, and I just find that and what pricked your blenders. I don't know what I'm saying.
The all of the sudden we're gonna go, we're gonna be leaving in like 11 minutes and we can't control it. By the way, didn't I mention that? It's like, god damn
yeah,
it.
I know.
That was just so uselessly done.
Yeah, it felt like
they could have introduced that and then been like, you know, we only have this time, but just introducing it that late in the game felt really plot forcey, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it was just an unenforced error.
Yeah, I know. It's like picking up a clock and going, oh, this clock is ticking down. We have to do something. I mean, it was done in the clumsiest possible way. I was kind of surprised that they just took off. I don't know if they're leaving the 1931 behind completely now.
I believe so, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I didn't realize.
My guess is that they're going forward a little bit.
Yeah, I saw a picture, a picture from a upcoming episode that looks like they're in a 50s style diner, so they'll be doing some jumping around.
I mean, we're supposed to get what's his face, who was in the
right, and Verjoke,
the Agent Carter show.
That's right.
Right. So I figure like we're gonna, you know, like we're not lucky enough that we're gonna go back to like dinosaurs. Just because that'd be fun.
I agree.
But yeah, I think they're going to be like moving forward a little bit, and then maybe back, probably always forward, frankly.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Because if the Chronicons are trying to erase a thing, then, you know, if they don't, then they're going to keep moving forward.
Right.
How many episodes does this season even have?
I don't know. I had this idea that it was like a half season.
13 episodes.
Ah, see? Never doubt me.
Yeah.
Or always dummy. Your choice.
You know, whichever.
Whichever works.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, so there's a while to go.
Weeks to go. I found this one was a little rough. But you know, not every episode of every show can be just
right.
Perfect. But there was enough that I enjoyed. I got a kick out of Enoch ending up as the bartender in the 30s.
Which I figured they'll just pick him back up in the 50s because he's immortal.
Absolutely. If they don't, I will be disappointed if they just leave him. But
Would you say you would be disappointed?
Disappointed. Yes, I would. I would be all kinds of Kevin Sorbo style of disappointed. I liked the ship takes off. He's standing there, and you can just see what's going through his head. Like, well, what now? I guess I will make the best of it.
Yeah, but no, it's a good start still to like a final season. I do hope that they update the title card for like whatever era they're in.
This is what I'm hoping. I want to see.
It's a small thing, but it makes me happy.
No, it's probably my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun seeing them like get into period costume, you know, every time. Although Mac will just look like Mac every time, but with like a different hat.
Maybe he can start getting like a period appropriate shotgun axe every time.
Ooh, yes. I almost thought he was going to do a shotgun axe thing in this episode. Like there was a line he delivers, and then I'm like, oh my god, is he going to like put a shotgun and an axe together? But no, he did not.
No, he did not.
No.
Little sad,
yep,
but I get it.
Sad.
I feel that we're gonna get the return of that though before the season's over.
Better.
So also moving right along because I don't know why. whatchamacallit? Stargirl also aired.
Stargirl.
And managed to do the death of a kid in the cheesiest way possible, but it worked.
Well, yeah, because it also was. You mean with the sort of the fluttering playing card? You know, I didn't mind the cheese at all because it was just they killed a kid, and it mattered.
Right. It was totally appropriate.
Yeah,
like it didn't bug me, but I was like, really, like that's okay. fine.
I was like, man, Icicle, that guy's cold, you know, because he was obviously deliberately. So like I'm gonna kill my my evil colleague's kid, and I'm gonna kill my evil colleague, you know. But the sort of the suffering and the grief that the parents felt, like that really hit home.
They did it fabulously.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the thing that sticks with me from the episode is the final scene, and for all the wrong reasons. actually, probably the right reasons. They meant it, but it's a very, very select like. You know, bit of the audience that will get it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, at the end, you know, we go to the JSA headquarters where there's, you know, mementos left around. Okay. Now you want to be like, look, it's the Flash, and here's his helmet. Look, it's Wildcat, and here's his mask. Look, it's Dr. Midnight, and here's his fucking jacket. Fine.
Hey, there's the owl.
Right. We're gonna ignore the owl. But look, it's Dr. Fate, and here's his helmet. Wait, what? You're just leaving that out? But that wasn't as bad as the final scene where Courtney decides I'm going to find new people to have all this shit, right?
Right.
And so she walks around with a duffel bag, and in this one duffel bag, she puts three things. I mean, among other many things. But there are three things she puts in this same bag. And I watched this happen, and I was just sitting there like, no, don't ever. What are you? Because she puts the helmet of Fate.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Scott's green fucking lantern, and then the goddamn thunderbolt, which I really did enjoy the picking up the pen, a little bit of pink lightning, and a tee-hee. Like, no, you don't put those three things anywhere near each other. Nothing good happens because of this. And I know that the show isn't about that. It's not ever going to really address it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But no! Also, frankly, like, I'm going to give out this shit to people. Like, oh, you look like you're a fighter. Here's Wildcat's mask. Sure. Fine. But you don't give the help, like, I mean, she won't know it, and I don't know if the show's going to deal with it, but, like, the helmet of fate is pretty much a curse.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm like, put Plan B back on the fucking shelf. What is wrong with you?
It does, however, open
the door to the Thunderbolt pen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Go for it.
So I was gonna can you tell me about the Thunderbolt pen? Because I don't know about this.
Okay. The Johnny Thunder was a character, like, way back, you know, obviously, in the JSA. And over the years, the whole thing kind of grew, because that's the way comics work, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Thunderbolt itself is basically a fifth-dimensional imp.
Oh.
That when Johnny says the magic word, which sounds like, say you, and isn't, but sounds like that, the Thunderbolt appears and does whatever he asks.
Hmm.
But, of course, it's basically like a magic genie.
Right.
That is, again, like a mischievous imp that's kind of doing what you want.
Kinda.
And that this is why it is the most dangerous thing in that room for a lot of reasons.
Mm.
So, yeah, no, the Thunderbolt's like this long-standing, it's kind of made of pink lightning and it's awesome. Johnny Thunder, of course, is the original wielder of the Thunderbolt, and then eventually Joaquin Thunder takes over in a Grant Morrison thing. So I'm guessing that this opens the door for Joaquin to show up, which is awesome.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, no, the Thunderbolt is kind of unstoppable.
Interesting.
You know, like Mr. Mixoplitic?
Yeah, I was actually. That's the
fifth-dimensional imp.
Yeah, when you said fifth-dimensional imp, that's immediately what popped into mind.
Right. Except this is, you know, Mr. Mixoplitic, basically. Except he's under your control.
Oh.
But also, you know, has a sense of humor.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to this. I saw a little promo spot for the next episode of Stargirl. And it looks like she's just basically going around her high school. And that's really weird, but I kind of like the idea. Seems very much in keeping with the sort of heroes are everywhere sort of ethos of Stargirl. That, you know,
yeah,
that normal people can be heroes if called upon. That's good.
Right. And, you know, I know we're going to get, like, the Wildcat, and we're going to get Dr. Midnight. Mm-hmm. And like I said, eventually I think we're going to get Joaquin. I don't think we're ever going to get a new Green Lantern. I mean, a Flash would be hard. Like, just here, wear a helmet. Now you move real fast. That's not how that works. And again, God help me, we better not get a new Dr. Fate. don't damn a child.
maybe some hapless grown-up can take on that role.
But also, if anyone doubted that, like, Pat should always be a sidekick and never in charge of shit, he left that shit just out in the open.
You know, that occurred to me. I'm like, why didn't you put this in storage? You know, secure storage or something. You know, some place that some high school girl couldn't break in and take your shit.
Right? Grab the fucking Thunderbolt. No!
I love it. Also, I realized where I'd seen Icicle, the actor Neil Jackson, before, because he looked really familiar. He played the character of Dillinger in that episode of Person of Interest, the one that takes place in 2000. Yeah, the sort of John 1.0.
Right. Yeah, I'd forgotten that. Speaking of Person of Interest, I kind of hinted at, I found a weird issue with the entire show.
Oh.
I'm glad that the machine decided to not ever protect any foreign-based students or long-term green card holders who don't have steady jobs or undocumented immigrants. Because they don't have social security numbers.
That is a good point.
If you're a student, you don't get a social security number unless you need to have a job, then you can apply for one, right?
Right.
Essentially, it's your tax ID number, but it is also a social security number.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm glad that the machine's just like, fuck those people. Like,
yeah, like what about Canadians? Like, we have social insurance numbers, but they're not the same. So
right. I mean, and you do get the feeling that the machine only works in the U.S., so fine.
Yeah. Oh, here's a question.
But, like, again, should a Canadian come visit New York, or the U.S. in a bigger sense, but, you know, come visit New York and get in trouble, fuck you.
Yep, you're on your own.
Yeah. Yep. It's a weird choice, and it's a subtle thing that you can, I mean, obviously, right, you paper around it by just never touching it.
Right.
Well,
all part of that American blindness to things non-American.
Yeah.
Or to like a certain systemic level of privilege afforded to citizenship in the country that others do not get. I have a random question about social security numbers. Do you have to apply for a social security number, or is it just assigned to you at some point?
Like if you're like just born here?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I think you have to apply for it. Like,
okay.
You... how does that work?
Because I had to... Because when I was, I think, in my mid-teens, I trotted on down to the government office and I applied for my social insurance number.
Yeah, no, if I remember, you have sent in, like, the birth certificate for the kid.
Huh, okay.
You don't have to, but if you don't, then you can't ever have, you know... all this shit that you need to have a social security number for.
Right.
But it's not mandatory, weirdly enough. Technically. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, I
why
suppose,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, I suppose the same thing for social insurance, or SIN. But you can't, you can't really have a job or do anything with
right.
without
right.
it.
No, I'm fairly sure that at this point, if you have a child in the hospital, when you have to do things like sign the birth certificate and all that, there is also a social security form that you sign.
All right, then. Okay. I was just...
So they can just auto-request it and just take it off your plate.
Gotcha. I was just
but,
curious
no, you do
about
have
the,
to...
the machinery of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not automatic.
Hmm.
The weird one is that your Social Security card, this is the annoying thing, getting a replacement is actually fairly hard and annoying. You're not supposed to carry it with you for obvious reasons, but also legally you can't laminate it, and they're fairly thin paper.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, my social insurance number card is a piece of plastic, like a credit card. So we do not have to worry about that sort of thing.
Yeah. Basically, you're told and taught to memorize your social security number.
Hmm. Cool.
And put the card like with a birth certificate with you, like somewhere safe. Because you shouldn't ever really have to whip it out except for, like, applying for certain forms.
Right.
At which point, like, you bring it with you. And then
you
put it back somewhere safe. It's a whole stupid process, but there you go.
So I was going to say there is an episode of Person of Interest that does deal with that. Because there is somebody that the machine is looking out for that doesn't have a social security number. And I can't remember what the circumstance was, but it's never really addressed in any substantive way.
Huh. Okay. Well, then I take it all back.
No, it's, I think, but I mean, it's basically, it's only done once, and it's like a weird little clever sort of like thing that, you
well,
know.
Right, but I mean, it only ever has to do it once. That's the thing.
That's true. But anyway, I could be wrong, but I seem to have that in my head, so.
Yeah, I remember later on, like in the fifth season, that occasionally, like, the machine kind of is giving them other stuff sometimes.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, giving them different numbers or something because they can't find or use a social security number.
Or just, like, it had a sense of humor at one point. Like, it was just doing weird shit.
Right.
But, like, they need the social security number to look it up so that they can look it up in the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. Don't ask me. Well, I'm in the midst of my rewatching.
Yeah, keep an eye out.
So I will keep an eye out.
I just did one, but I hadn't thought of this then, so I didn't notice it.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm just.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think the season 5 stuff is specifically flagged as like it's being weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing. It's finding but, alternate means of.
Right. But whatever.
Well,
Man, I do like
freaking out.
That I remember in season 1, before we find out the whole library method,
mm-hmm.
at one point, Reese and Finch are outside, and there's a phone call to a payphone, and Finch picks it up, listens, and goes, "We have a new number, it's this person."
I remember that, yes.
And I would always look back on that when he was like, it's so scary, I'd be like, damn. You know, just like, did you know, just memorize every book?
You know your Dewey Decimal. Exactly. Yeah, I think maybe.
And I mean, that's it's early days stuff. You know, it's fine. It's just funny.
No, I think we should be the kind of fans that actually build like an entirely like convoluted, complex rationale for that one scene.
Okay.
Cool. I've always wanted a friend who does that. I've never wanted a friend who does that.
Obviously. The code corresponded directly to the name of a known member of Bellboy DeVoe.
Ah, obviously.
So, yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
So,
There was a Harley Quinn. Did you watch the recent Harley Quinn?
I did. Yes.
Ah. So actually, I really enjoyed this one. The whole Ivy and Harley relationship on hold for an episode, but sort of brings back, and you knew it had to happen some way or other, but it promises the return of the Joker just in time for the last few episodes of the season. But of course, it's Harley herself.
I don't know if I'm a fan of that move. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it from a thematic and relationship point of view, but I'm also like, meh.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. I kind of enjoyed the Joker bartender, like Joker as a nice guy with a weird laugh.
It was worth it just for Gordon and the Batplane.
I want to fly it. Yes, that was.
I can use missiles. I just choose not to.
Or the plane did that. That was all pretty great. Yeah, I thought it was an enjoyable, very solid episode for Harley Quinn. And finally, you get, you know, Mr. Psycho and turning back into an actual villain, which is, you know, lest we forget. Like, these are all villains, so sometimes they're just gonna act like villains.
Right.
And they didn't just drop the whole thing with parademons. You know, they've still got this ridiculous or Riddler. The very buff Riddler. That was hilarious.
Oh. Yeah, no, it was a good solid episode. Like, this season has just been so great.
I know. I've been enjoying the heck out of it.
Although, speaking of,
ooh,
kind of Harley, but really DCU stuff. We now have 3 weeks until New Doom Patrol.
Ah, yes. Thank you, New Doom Patrol.
Right?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm gonna watch the first season again just for the sheer fun of it.
Well, and of course, because this is on HBO Max now, like, there's a good chance that there's gonna be a whole lot of people finally talking about this show.
Oh, yes.
I cannot wait for it to just break everyone else's head.
Oh, I know. And people are going to be like, what the fuck is this show?
Yep. So good. Yeah, I had one friend, actually. I had a friend who managed to twig to the thing that, like, we didn't for a while. Like, on, like, episode 2. Like, they were just starting to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, don't ruin this for me, but shouldn't all these people be dead by now? And I was like, oh, you noticed. Like,
yeah, you don't even know.
Anyway. Oh, completely, well, not really, but sort of unrelated. That Scrubs podcast, Fake Doctors, Real Friends?
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned that they are going to have Brendan Fraser as a guest when they do his first episode.
Oh, sweet.
Just, you know, to tie in the Brendan Fraser of it all.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, that's fantastic. And really, that's the Brendan Fraser episode is probably like.
Well, there's the first one, and then there's the other one. Yeah,
there's the other one. It's the other one that's, I think, really, for me, it's like the high water mark of Scrubs. It's just
it's
gut punch.
It's that, and then there's that 3-episode Cox breakdown arc.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, like that really the Scrubs always finds its high water mark with McGinley. Like it's not lost on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That. Like, he's that secret weapon of, you know, you let him go completely left and you get something special.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But anyway. I watched a movie.
Yes, I heard that you'd watched a movie. But I still don't know what this movie is that you watched.
You don't know what movie it is. Sir, I watch Bloodshot.
Oh, hey, I've watched Bloodshot too. We can
really?
Both talk about Bloodshot. Yeah, I watched it like a while ago. And I don't think
I
even mentioned
know.
It to you. But
you
yeah,
didn't.
I have watched Bloodshot. Bloodshot.
It was so paint by numbers.
It really was.
And I think the thing that pissed me off first and most was fairly early, like, well, I mean, first of all, from the trailers, you expect, like, you're going to get this whole, like, cycle, right? Where they're going to keep replacing the face. He's going to keep, like, killing all these people, and, like, slowly they'll reveal to him this thing. In the actual movie, it's like, we're going to spend a third of the movie setting up the world and this whole process. Then he's going to do it one more time, and then we're going to be like, no, see, it's a fake. I'm like, what? That was a waste. But the first time when they're like, oh, could this be any more tropey, like, his whole history? And they just kind of brush it off.
Yeah.
I'm like, they could have either made it really interesting and be like, shouldn't we have done this kind of more standard? But really, the way to save that entire bit was to have that response be like, well, this is, like, people are so conditioned to these stories. Like, and just address it head on.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just kind of going like, ha-ha, you know, like, yeah. Wink, wink. But they don't, and because they're assholes. I just, oh man, that movie did not work.
It really didn't. I mean, I feel like I sort of it was 90 minutes or so that I mean I sort of enjoyed. I'm like, this is a way to spend 90 minutes. I probably did things while I was watching the movie. But
that's the thing. It's like the gratuitous slow motion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, just the nonsense, it wasn't good, and there wasn't any there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kept giving you setup for a much better movie, and then just not bothering doing that movie.
Yes.
The only bright spot in that entire thing, of course, was Lamorne Morris. Which I didn't know he was in it. So, of course, I'm watching this film, and I hear his voice, and I was like, is Winnie the Bish? Like, it was just... And, like, the first time he's, like, he's doing all his tech stuff, and he's, like, you know, like, he's programming, and he's, like, oh, look at this, and kind of having fun with it. I instantly was, like, oh, yeah, we're going to have, like, a good old-fashioned Winnie mess around. You know, it's just...
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm amazed that I should have... I'm surprised that I didn't contact you and say, you got to see Bloodshot just because of Lamorne Morris. And
I did not know. And it was delightful because I didn't know.
I mean, he gets to, like, deliver ridiculous lines and spend quite a bit of the movie in pajama pants. So I'm like, wow,
yeah.
Enjoy your paycheck.
He makes, I mean, for the overused generic term for it now, which I actually don't like, but he makes a very good man in the chair.
He does. Yeah, he really does. I agree. Although I
would like to see him do more things with bigger roles, frankly, but this will do.
Yeah, exactly. I would... something better than Man in the Chair, please, for Lamorne Morris.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. There was just... I think that was the really disappointing thing. Like, they were setting something up, and then they just were like, "Oh, now we're on to the next part of the movie." It's like, what? Did you just run out of money to make a movie? Did you just kind of just go jump right to the end? And when he sort of finds his, when he tracks down his wife and says, "We can be together again," and she says, "It's been years," or whatever, that right. was like. How is this a surprise at this point? Like,
what? Right.
Like, come
like,
on.
That's the thing is, it doesn't work.
He doesn't even show up and say what's going on. It's just kind of like, no, this is there's a better movie in there. They just cut out all the good bits, all the good movie
parts.
Yeah,
well, it's like what's her face? What's her character name? KT, Melissa Gonzalez. Like. Her whole, like, I'm frustrated doing this over and over again, but you never see her do, like, you see her do it once?
Yeah.
So, like, they never sell, like, why is she turning against them?
Exactly.
Other than she has to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
It's just not good.
Because of some of that their plot that needs to happen.
Also, the whole, like, Vin Diesel's going to sit in front of this wall of water and brood, and then she's going to come out of nowhere and be swimming. And then you kind of pan back, and it's like he was maybe 6 inches from the top wall of the swimming pool. And I'm like, you didn't hear her, like, walk in, walk up there, get in the pool. None of this.
He's too broody. Just too broody.
It was bad.
I mean... I was watching it, and I'm like, this is, when you look back on it, it was like, this is just a really absurdly elaborate contrived excuse to watch Ilia Gonzalez, like, sort of swim around in a swimsuit.
Right.
And I'm like, that's fine. Movies are for looking at pretty people, but it was just like, oh, come on. It was just.
It is, all, like I said, it's just so paint by numbers that it loses me completely.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, Bloodshot deserved better. Lamorne Morris deserved better.
And of course, I mean, and again, like, I Valiant, and we're not going to get into the whole history of Valiant Comics, although let's just put it out there that there have been three versions of the Valiant Comics stuff.
Oof.
Since they started. They keep getting, the original version happened, and then they got sold by, and bought by Activision, who wanted to make video games out of them.
Right.
They did one video game, and it was terribly received, and so then they shut it all down, and then this Chinese IP farm company, media company conglomerate, bought them in order to do a series of movies.
Hmm.
Like, they spent a lot of money to buy this shit to make this movie. And I'm just like, well, have you, did they hire the art techs from, Universal's fucking Dark Universe? Like, what the shit?
Have you considered not making any more movies?
But, I've read bits of Valiant through all of its incarnations, and usually I can remember most of the names of this shit, mm-hmm. but the number of times that since I have seen this movie and even talked about this movie that I have called it Bloodsport is just not right. And I almost feel bad. Almost.
Almost.
Not really.
Yeah. No, it really did feel like a movie that sort of had some promise here and there, but just at the end of the day, they were just like, let's get this in the can. Like, it just felt lazy and perfunctory is what is the deal. And it had enough money to sort of make it look a little bit polished, but not very polished, frankly.
Yeah. It's, not good.
But I can't wait for Bloodshot 3. I don't know.
Bloodshottier?
Bloodshottier. The bloodshottiest.
Ooh. I like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not so bad. Yeah, I do wish they had come up with something better. And I don't think I've seen any...
Wouldn't have been hard.
No, it would not have been hard. That's the thing. It would not have been
I don't know if you can hear pants, by the way.
No, I cannot.
She is just circling my chair yelling at me.
Okay. I'm just trying to see if there's anything before we sign off, because we are nearing the hour mark. There's anything else that I saw this week that I feel like discussing.
Calm down. Oh, I actually saw something else this week.
What?
Well, I started seeing something else this week. I
Do tell.
I started watching She-Ra.
Hey, She-Ra. And the Princesses of Power.
And the Princesses of Power. Keep in mind, when I was a kid, I didn't watch much He-Man. Never really cared about He-Man.
Fair enough. I mean, I was a little too old for He-Man and She-Ra anyway. It's my brother. My brother was into it. He's 9 years younger than me.
Hmm. But yeah, never really watched He-Man. Never really watched the original She-Ra. Like,
you know,
just didn't happen.
You don't really need to, frankly. It's not required viewing to understand the world of Noelle Stevenson.
No, not at all.
Put it that way.
I'm just saying, like, it's. I don't come to this from a place of, you know, like, oh, it's She-Ra. It's my childhood. at all, like, I couldn't care less. Right.
Right.
But, like. I will say that I really am enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah, how far have you... How much have you She-Ra'd?
Well, because, again, like, I've had really bad insomnia recently again.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind when I say the following.
Okay.
That, like, I'm in season two.
Holy crow.
You know, when you're up at, like, 4 in the morning. And 2 in the morning. And 3 in the morning.
I get it. They're short, bingeable episodes. You can really burn through them all. Yeah. So you've seen probably one of my favorite episodes of the entire series.
I'm gonna guess it's the prom.
No, the prom is up there, definitely. Or the Ice Princess. Yeah. Ball. Now that one is a great episode. No, I think it's episode 11 when She-Ra or Adora finds the temple. Catra follows her in, and then it begins run them through their memories together. And at the very end, when you sort of think, here is where Catra has like an epiphany about their friendship, she completely inverts it and sort of decides that her fate is to like be like even like just a really shitty person. And tells Adora to piss off. I was, that just had me gobsmacked when I saw that the first time. Because it hit this sort of level of like emotional nuance and sophistication for how relationships can go sort of really bad. And people can double down on being terrible people. That I just was not expecting that from a cartoon.
Right. I mean, well, and that's the thing for me. And watching it, like, there's a little bit of me that's occasionally annoyed at the, like, here's this unsolvable problem. What are we going to do? Eventually, she was going to close her eyes and kind of hum to herself, and it'll just be magically fixed.
There is a little bit of that, yeah.
But I also don't care because all of the character work and relationships, like, all across the board, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are all so well drawn and so well thought out.
Yes. Yeah.
That you don't really care. Like, I got to say, like, I adore Entrapta, like.
Yeah, me too.
But the whole like, oh, I guess she works for the Horde now. I'm like, wait, but, and it's that interesting thing. She's not bad.
No, she's just
in
she's
any
just
sense.
Not, she's not paying attention to like she's not
right.
She's not thinking beyond the sort of the like the fascination of the technology.
Right, and I just think that, like, again, like that's a really interesting way to do it, you know.
Mm. It's funny. I was a little bit. I wasn't thrilled about it at first because it seemed like there was sort of. It seemed to be like a drawing of like you know the amorality of science, and sort of something sort of. I thought there was like an anti-intellectual vein in there, but as the show goes on, I think they. They do more work with Entrapta.
Yeah, see, I wasn't getting that from it just because there were other people who like tech and, you know,
exactly.
It never feels like that. Especially since, you know, the show doesn't break down along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I love it just for the kind of the casualness of like evil.
Yes.
You know, that, like, it's not just good and evil and here's someone cackling. It's, you know, all the good guys occasionally start to maybe cross that line. All the bad guys are pretty much there because they're not even convinced that they're right, mm-hmm. so much as, like, they're not paying attention and they're comfortable.
Yeah, and you get people who are, in which sort of evil, the evil horde, is just normalized stuff, like Adora's, right. you know, squad mates, Rogelio, Lonnie, and Kyle. Like, they're just kids.
Oh, Kyle.
I mean, one's a giant lizard, but also is a kid.
That's fine.
So, yeah, Kyle. I love that they never let those characters go. They're like, they're there till the end of the series. So there's that. You get people who are just sort of there. And one of the things I love the most, and I think they get into it in season two quite a bit, is actually Entrapta's friendship with Hordak. I don't know if you've gotten that far.
That just started.
Yeah, but they sort of
where she's like working with him.
Yeah. And they develop this weird bond. It's like I never thought I would say. Yeah, I really feel for Hordak, but there you go.
No, and I like that the show does that. So yeah, I'm all in. And again, because I've had insomnia, and it's very quick and easy to watch when I'm happy. Like some shows, I can't do that with.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 4 a.m. thing, I can't watch. You know, something like a Person of Interest episode. Right. And not saying that Person of Interest takes more, but just because the cartoon stuff is aimed a little lower, frankly, even when it's mm-hmm. doing high level stuff.
Yeah.
They make it so if you're kind of like, what? I kind of missed that minute. Like, they'll get you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Captain Seahawk.
Also, Swift Wind is hysterical.
You know, that's the one thing I'm disappointed with in the series, and I'm not spoiling anything, but they just don't do enough with Swift Wind. Like, they sort of...
I get it, though.
Yeah, I get it, too. I mean, this is really funny, but they don't bring him out as much as they I think they should bring out Swift Wind. More Swift Wind,
I really do like that when they're in the workouts, it's like, why does everyone else... I don't get a chair.
Yes, that's pretty. It's pretty damn good. Yeah, no, the whole thing is great.
But anyway, we are hitting the hour mark, so we should probably stop there, and come back next week and see what has gone on.
What has transpired?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess in the meantime, we should play some music. Is that the thing?
Music. Woo.
Music. Woo.